Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi, I'm Sarah Wilson, and this is Wild, a podcast about living a more beautiful and fired up life. Here we will continue my 10-year nomadic journey, living out of one bag, in search of more connection, more awakeness, less consuming, less loneliness, and less bloody scrolling. I'll be inviting you to join me in finding better ways radically love and save our one wild and precious life on this planet. In this episode, I speak with singer-songwriter Sia.
Hi, Sarah.
Sia is one of the most gifted and wild creatives, I reckon, on this planet. And she's wonderfully brimful of anomalies and paradoxes. She's written more than 100 of the biggest hits in pop music for Kanye, Beyonce, Rihanna, that would be the 2012 chart topper Diamonds, which I'm sure you've heard. She wrote that in 14 minutes. But she hates being famous. She famously got upset when she wrote a song for Alicia Keys and they used her voice instead. That was Titanium, and I'm sure you've heard of that too, which she wrote in 40 minutes. Her music videos have been viewed like billions of times online. But she doesn't show her face on stage and makes deals with her publishers to not have to do any publicity. But I think what I've always found to be the wildest thing about Sia is the way she talks about her creative process and the way she has to manage it with her deep mental struggles, the intersection of art and personal pain and loneliness. I wrestle with it deeply myself. My own struggle with my bipolar highs and my creative lows, including suicide. And I've cried through each of the very few interviews she's done over the years because she's that private. But this time, as we talked in and around her latest creative experiment, her debut film, Music, I made her cry.
That made me cry.
The movie stars Kate Hudson and Leslie Odom Jr. from Hamilton, as well as Maddie Ziegler in the role of Music, a teen on the autism spectrum. Now, for context, and you'll need it for this chat, Maddie is Sia's muse, and she says she can't create anything without Maddie by her side. Also, when we spoke, Sia had copped a mountain of abuse for not casting an autistic actor in the role. Our chat is revealing to the extent to which she tries to own this. We only had 20 minutes together because it was one of those media junket situations, so we dive straight in. Hello, Sia. I've got to tell you, I've been pretty nervous slash excited about chatting to you, and really I've been building up to this chat for many years. I've kind of watched you from the sidelines and in sort of parallel. I've also got bipolar. I've also got thyroid disease. And I've also been quite vocal on several suicide attempts. And now I foster children and I just feel somewhat of a connection with you.
Yeah.
I almost think that those four things must come as a package, you know. You got one, you get them all.
Well, I would agree. And I would also go back to your psychiatrist. I don't know when you got diagnosed with bipolar, but For me, it turned out that that was a misdiagnosis and that I had complex PTSD.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
That they often get mixed up.
Yeah, look, I've got the same thoughts and I've written a book about it and I've heard your thoughts on the PTSD. And what I find interesting is the actual modalities that you turn to work with it and heal it and modulate it and thrive with it, because I think that's the more interesting bit out of it all. Doesn't matter what the diagnosis is to a certain extent, it's what you can then work with to kind of get your life thriving.
I'm doing something called Idealized Parent Figure Protocol.
Oh, yeah? Tell us.
Take a Google. go down that drain for a while.
Yeah, yeah. I'll see if it ends me up in a conspiracy theory somewhere. So, in some ways, my nervousness comes from almost not wanting to meet part of myself. And I don't know if your people have been telling you what this podcast is about, but essentially, I explore wild ideas, and it's really a self-serving project to help me get more in touch with my wildness as I enter my late 40s and really want to get real about the way I live my life. So really, the idea that I had that I wanted to explore with you, and I stick to one idea, which is good because we've only got 20 minutes together, came from the show notes to your new movie, Music. And I really think that the show notes should be released with your movie. I think everyone who goes to see it should read the show notes, because it's such a great indication of how everyone who worked on the project felt about things and how they saw your creativity. But there was one line that came from Leslie Odom Jr., who's one of the main stars in the movie, and he says that, he's talking about you, that Sia doesn't drop or doubt ideas that come to her. And he was sort of saying that you just run with an idea, you trust it, you go there. And that in itself gets people really comfortable with kind of their own creativity and their own limitlessness. Do you reckon that sounds about true? Do you agree with him on when he's describing your creative process in that way?
Well, I know that in my personal life, I'm extremely afraid. But in my work life, my professional life, I've never really been afraid until it came to making this movie. I had to really develop the courage. I thought it was a big risk. And given that, you know, I was working with a lot of underrepresented minorities, you know, sick people, you know, with healthcare problems or mental illness problems, addiction problems, and then on being on the autism spectrum or being a caregiver for someone on the autism spectrum or anyone with special needs or special abilities, depending on how you like to phrase it. I know that I have always been a risk taker within my professional world. And I'm extremely decisive, and I work with my gut.
Yep.
And I trust my gut every time. And that it's really all I work with is intuition and gut. And so I think probably because they had seen that had worked for me musically, and with my music videos since I'd started directing with my friend Dan Askill, who's an Australian director, we started working together on Chandelier, and that was the first piece of like visual art that I had participated in that I thought was really beautiful and special. And I think the four of us, the choreographer, Ryan Heffington, Maddie, myself and Daniel, we sort of became a little team, and I didn't want to work with anybody else. And then when it came time to make this movie, we'd made enough things and I'd learned enough from Daniel that I thought that I might be ready to direct on my own. I might be ready. I wasn't sure, but and so I asked a lot of people, a lot of different actors that I'd worked with, like on my Nostalgic for the Present tour video, I'd worked with Paul Dano and Ben Mendelsohn and Kristen Wiig, and before that with Shia LaBeouf and Lena Dunham. And so I asked them, like, do you think I'm a director or do you think I'm just a singer with good ideas? And all of them said to me they thought I was a director, and I really needed to hear that because I was still a little bit insecure. And so I just leapt off the cliff.
Yeah, right.
And then Leslie came with me, Maddie came with me, Kate came with me. I started every day with, like, we're doing this for other people. Let's keep our egos out of it. Like, this is a movie that's about being of service to these underrepresented people. So let's all just try and have a lot of fun and be real sensitive and do our best to represent accurately what the lives of people living under these circumstances are like.
I want to come back to that leaping off the cliff and listening to your gut stuff in a minute, but what I might get you to do is actually, you're probably very well versed in this, can you give me like a 2 or 3 line synopsis, elevator pitch of your new movie Music?
Yeah, I say it's like Rain Man but with girls, the musical. There's so many kids who never saw Rain Man that that'll mean absolutely jack shit to them. So for them, I would say, you know, it's a story about love and connection and finding your voice. And
told through the story of two sisters, one who is troubled for her own reasons. She's f***ed up a life with, you know, addictions and so on, and she's had to come around to look after her younger sister who's on the autism spectrum. And so you see this tussle as they try to get to a space of loving each other via dance and song.
Yeah, you know, just your regular everyday movie.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You've caught criticism and for ableism, basically not casting somebody on the spectrum in the main role as Music. The main character is in fact called Music. I don't want to go into that too much, but I will just ask you, like, where are you at with that at the moment? Because you got into some Twitter mischief around it.
I should never have. I've got a rule, and that is I don't tweet after midnight, but I was so like, what? I was so stunned by the criticism because nobody had any information.
Yeah.
So they didn't know that I actually had cast 13 neuroatypical people and a lot of other unrepresented, you know, there's a whole movie talks about how trans people are cast as prostitutes or they're usually the first to get killed in a movie or, you know, and I cast all my trans people as doctors and nurses and, you know, and then I got misunderstood there as well, or I got attacked for saying, and you know, I couldn't say anything right, actually.
Yeah.
They also didn't know that I had actually tried to work with a neuroatypical actor to play Music, and her mum had said this is too stressful for her. And my fault, definitely, is didn't occur to me to try and find someone who was still autistic but perhaps higher functioning so that it wouldn't have been as stressful. I wasn't thinking laterally. I also love working with Maddie. I had originally planned to work with Maddie. Then I had, after taking under much consideration a lot of suggestions from other filmmakers that I should try and use a neuroatypical actor, I tried that. And then when her mum said, no, this is too stressful for her, I took that and went back to Maddie.
Yeah.
You know, I think I am ableist. I didn't realize I was. I had no idea. I think it's a lot of us Australians don't know that we're racist.
Oh, God, yeah.
Until we leave Australia, you know, and I'm certainly, when it comes to, you know, viewing myself as Maddie's bonus mum and joyfully being, like, given the opportunity to share in mothering her by her mum, who's generously, because I'm infertile, let me, like, play bonus mum to Maddie.
Yeah.
Who, when I first met, it felt like I was meeting, like, it felt like I was meeting my child for the first time. You know, when they say, if you have children, I don't know, but
no.
They say you have, that you experience this unconditional, like, love like you've never felt before, ever before, and it's so much oxytocin and blah, blah, blah. Well, that's actually what happened to me when I met Maddie. And
was she 8?
She was 11 when we met.
Okay, yeah.
And she did Chandelier, and I'm just lucky that her mum was compassionate enough, knowing that I was infertile, that she let me, you know, be Maddie's bonus mum.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, listen, Juliette Lewis is in it, and it's really funny because this is another thing we've got in common. I have met so many of my true soul friends over the last couple of years from living on the road. I've lived on the road for sort of almost 10 years out of one bag, and Juliette Lewis is someone I met on Instagram, and I've met so many people via social media as well. Did you meet her on social media?
I actually didn't. I had a very brief stint as a Scientologist. 14 years ago maybe. And I think I met her through some of those friends, like maybe through Beck or something.
Yeah.
Oh, but I really liked her. I liked her a lot. And then I just bump into her all the time, even after I had bounced from Scientology. I would see her all the time, and Gabby Hoffman was due to play her role.
Mm-hmm.
And then something very unexpected happened. And the day before Gabby's scene, she was unable to attend, and not due to Gabby's fault at all.
Yeah.
And I thought, I think I had less than 24 hours, and I was like, who the fuck do I know? Who the fuck can I get to? Like, Gabby Hoffman is so amazing. Like, who the fuck am I going to, how can I replace her? She's so gifted. And then I realized that I didn't really know Juliette that well, but we'd always had such a good time dancing on the dance floor. And I loved to dance, and so does she. And so we would, and that's really how we connected, was dancing, just dancing. When we'd see each other at parties, we'd just dance together.
Yeah.
And I mean, she's fire. She's like one of the greatest actresses of all time. And so I thought, this is such a long shot, but I I got her on the telephone and she said if I would do a writing session with her, that she would do it.
Yeah.
And I'm still waiting to fulfill that promise, but I'm ready whenever she's ready.
So I just want to go back to the film. And if you don't mind, I might just tell you what my thoughts are on it. I hate musicals. I've got to be really upfront. But I've got to say that I think a lot of the people that have jumped on this kind of ableism criticism have missed the point, in the sense that I actually think the debate that you created around it has been really, really interesting, and I've been really challenged by it. Like you said, you might be ableist, and I've had to think about that for myself as well. And I think that is what good art should always do. And I actually think that this is, sure, it's a movie, you know, it's a movie length and you go to a cinema and it's going to be beautiful and you need to see it on a big screen to appreciate it. But really what it is, I think it's got to be moved out of the genre of movie because it's art, and good art always challenges where we're at in the status quo. And you may not have set out to do that, but that's where it's landed, and it's landed at a perfect time.
And that made me cry.
I describe this to somebody who was making my coffee this morning. It's a creative deposit by Sia. And for me, there's a line in, I think it's either from a song or maybe Kate Hudson says it, but it's like, I think it's just one of the songs, take a trip in my mind. And I actually think,
don't take a trip into my magic mind.
That's it. It was a song. But it's like, yep, that's what we get. And I actually think that's the greatest gift you can give us, is a trip inside your mind, your creative mind. And back to this idea that you don't drop an idea and you don't doubt it, you go with it. And I know David Chappelle described it once as creativity arrives, it honks its horn, it pulls outside your house and it honks its horn and you just got to get in. You can't pack your lunch, you can't go, got to go and clean my teeth first, and you can't get in the driver's seat. You got to get in the passenger seat and you just got to get in and see where it takes you. And I'm just wondering if you can describe a little more about that idea of, I think you described it as jumping from a cliff. Yeah, can you just talk that through? Because I'm fascinated and I'm scared by it, because my life has been about, and I think there's a bipolar condition or bipolar-esque, you're running down a hill, it's taking you there, and I have a fear that it's going to take me too fast, that my legs lose connection with the ground. And my sense is Sia has always allowed her legs to move, to leave the ground. You go so fast, so far, so deep, so expansive. You let your feet leave the ground. You lose connection. And I know that's hard for you, but for the rest of us, we get to get an insight into how limitless we can be. And I'm just wondering about your thoughts on that.
Well, first of all, thanks for saying all that stuff, because it made me cry. Aww. And I really appreciate your support. Because my intentions were good, and I just really appreciate it. And yes, we have to look at it. I've learned a lot, and I've had to look at myself, and you know, and am I ableist and all that sort of stuff. And but you're right, we're similar. And the way that I've always viewed it is that the reason that I take medication is so that I don't end up in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And it has meant that I've had to give up sometimes living in the sky, living in the clouds, or living by the sun.
Yeah.
But now I just hit the roof. But I don't end up in the basement. I just end up with my face lying on the floor, you know? Yeah. And that's what medication has done for me. But not creatively, I feel like a lot of people get afraid about taking medication that it's going to kill their creativity.
Yeah.
But for me, it actually freed me. Because when I was unmedicated, I was a danger to myself.
Yeah,
and I'm still able to completely imagine what it's like to go further in each direction. because I have been. I've been there. And once you've been there once, twice, three times, four times, you never forget what it's like to fly near the sun or to end up in the basement. And so I don't need to live that anymore. And it's sort of, I think, Sisyphean to like to live without the support of medical intervention from me.
I know that you've gone there very closely. You've wanted to die and then you've wanted to live clearly.
I guess there was always a little voice that was there that was just like, yeah, I want to live. Just, you know, just there going like, you want to live. And it would, you know, pick up the phone, even if I'd already taken the overdose, you know.
You've also been motivated by service. You're a good little girl who's motivated by service. And I think I feel that from you. I feel that you will want to keep creating and showing us our limitlessness.
I really want to be pat on the head and told I'm a good girl. And that desperate need to be liked is definitely a defect. And like, I'm really working on that at the moment.
Yeah.
And on the defensiveness that, you know, I showed on the first bunch of answers, and also I was being like facetious, and I do have a sense of humor, but I obviously hurt some feelings, so that's not ever my intention.
No.
You know, but yeah, I learned a lot. I learned that I should sometimes, definitely always actually, past midnight, shut the fuck up. And on social media.
Yeah.
And I learned that I am or was unintentionally ableist. And I learned what ableism is. And I learned that whilst I did a lot of research, I talked to 20 subsets of the autism community, that there were another 20 that I didn't talk to. And so, you know, whilst some people don't like to be referred to as autistic, they like to be referred to as a person on the autism spectrum, other people are like, why aren't you saying autistic? It's annoying. You know, and others found it condescending that I would say special abilities, when in fact the Down syndrome person that I cast in the movie said that that's what he preferred. He liked being called special abilities because that's what he felt like he did have special abilities. And so, you know, I was doing my best, and there's just so many factions and subsets of every minority. I remember when I was dating JD and went into lesbian world for 3.5 years, and I realized it was like a whole new branch of the library had opened up to me. But even there was still like another like 40 aisles that I didn't get to in that 3.5 years, this internal homophobia and so much like that I didn't get to. And so I realized that in the same way, the autism community similarly has a lot of sub-factions and sub-factions. Yeah. And that I didn't talk to everybody. And in fact, just like there's only, you know, they say if you've met one person with autism, you've met one person with autism. Well, I only talked to 20, like, communities of people with autism, and there's another 20 communities of people with autism that I didn't speak to or speak for. And
your consideration around all of this, the fact that you're talking through all of this, it's another aspect of what you are giving. You're putting it on the agenda, and the fact that you're willing to go first is a real gift. And look, I actually would love to round things off. In the movie, I know that this is another theme. Kate Hudson, I think, has a line referring to the fact that she's trying to drown out loneliness. I know you've spoken about it. Where are you at with loneliness now as you've put this movie out?
I'm so good now. because I'm so lucky. I have the resources to coronavirus test the people I love and have them over on a regular basis and still wear masks and social distance. But like I believe, you know, we've seen the rates of suicide and relapse go up so much in the last year, and I would be there along with them if it weren't for the, you know, if they, you know, I've always said fame is a gift and a curse, and the gift in this case is that I have the resources to test my friends and to quarantine with my friends for periods of time, and that I've managed to stay connected.
Yeah.
And I'm just really grateful for that. And 2020.
I think the old ways. I think 2021 will become what we need it to become if we make it that way. Hey, I know I've overstepped my timing on all of this. Thank you so much, Sia. You've been a gift to me. I appreciate it. See you, mate.
Yeah, thanks for helping me kind of process more about this, all of this. Thanks.
I actually sound so nervous and fangirly in that chat. I'm not sure if you hear it either, but I'm also really emotional. Here's the thing I took from the chat. Sia's like a true artist, the genius kind, who goes down in history books and who we realise maybe much later down the track that she helped us, or her art helped us navigate tough stuff going on in our lives at the time with their art, but also their sacrifice. These kind of artists get us thinking like widely and wildly. And our culture is always better for it, I think. So I really do feel her film should not be seen as a bog-standard feature film, but instead as art that exists, and as it turns out in this case, to challenge us about ideas around ableism. And also perhaps gives us a compassionate and inspiring peek into a genius's mind, which in turn gets us to maybe experience our own limitlessness. This is what art does, and I think we have to give a longer leash to artists like Sia who take this risk and who make this sacrifice. What I found most interesting, and I don't know if you feel the same way, because maybe it reflects my own fear of what will happen if I run full throttle down that hill with my own creative process and my speaking up on stuff in public that scares people, is that she is 100% confident doing this kind of risk-taking, confident in leaping off that cliff in her work life or flying close to the sun, as she says. She just pays for it in her private life. I think for all of us who grapple with this, whether in our work or our personal lives, we want to know, well, how do we leap and take the risk or go to our edge and not let the fear hold us back like Sia manages to do? In our chat, Sia shows us we can make this really artful. It can be a creative process in itself. We can practice flying as high as the ceiling rather than the sky or too close to the sun, so that we don't fall through to the basement and perhaps just land face down on the floor from time to time, as she says. Sia takes medication. She does radical therapy. She meditates and she surrounds herself with people, other ceiling hovering artists who back her and make her feel less alone. I've got to say, I do much the same, and I do regard it as another way of creating art. It's a lifelong practice for me of getting grounded and solid and modulating my mania and my health like every day. For me, it's via meditating and exercising every single morning and having these regular writing chats, as I call them, with myself, which is a very unstructured journal writing thing I do. And also working in climate activism, that totally grounds me. And when I'm grounded and being a friend with myself like this, I find I can jump more wildly and push the edge, and I can trust that I will land, not in a chaotic heap, but I suppose in the best place for moving forward.
Wild was presented by me, Sarah Wilson, and it's produced in collaboration with Podcast One Australia. Producer Lindsay Green, audio producer Chris Marsh, executive producer Sam Kavanagh. For more episodes, download the free Podcast One Australia app or search Wild Podcast with Sarah Wilson. And my friends, let's remember, we have a one wild and precious life together on this planet. Let's do it like we mean it.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.